Good to see everyone out this morning. As Winston sang that song, "Great is thy faithfulness." God, the God that we worship is a faithful God. And because of that, as our title suggests this morning, all Israel shall be saved. We're going to be looking into that particular title that we have this morning is taken from verse 26. If you'll go ahead and turn, if you'd like, Romans chapter 11, we're going to begin at verse 22. I want to say a couple of things this morning, that some of these verses here in chapter 11 can be a little difficult. Reason being is that Paul here is, when he speaks about Israel, he's talking about different segments of Israel. First of all, he's talking about the physical nation of Israel, all those Jews that were born Israelites. And he's also talking about the spiritual nation of Israel, that is, Jews and Gentiles, all of God's elect, of every tribe, kindred, and nation that make up that spiritual nation of Israel. And then again, he's talking about, in some of these verses, the physical or natural Jews that were part of that nation Israel. And also, we have God's elect, a remnant out of that nation that were part of spiritual Israel. They were not only born an Israelite, born a Jew, but they were not only children of Abraham as they were by birth, as they were born in this world, but they were also later revealed and manifested to be children of Abraham, spiritual children of Abraham. Now, to begin with this morning, I want to point out a couple of things, and like I always do in this verse-by-verse study, you got to go back in order to pick up the context of what we're dealing with, rather than just starting out at verse 22. I want to give you a little background, and I want to point out that the Apostle Paul is seeking to defend God's faithfulness. Not that God's faithfulness needs to be defended, but the Apostle Paul, as he deals with these men and women who called into question the faithfulness of God to fulfill his promise, which was clear from the very beginning. God had said through the prophet Isaiah, look at Isaiah 45, verse 17, "But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation." Now, you got to do a little explaining here, because according to that, when it talks about Israel, it also talks about an everlasting salvation. And we know that God does not save every physical Jew eternally. And so we're going to be discussing a lot of that this morning. And so as a Christian church began back here, and as God had moved in the circles to bring in and include both these Jewish believers and also the Gentile believers into the gospel economy, the question began to be raised by some of these Jews, especially as they looked around and saw so many of their fellow kinsmen, according to the flesh, saw them in unbelief. They didn't believe the gospel. The question is raised by some of these Jews concerning God's faithfulness to fulfill his promise to save all Israel. If God promised that he would save all Israel and that all Judah would be justified, then truly God is not faithful to his promise. We know that it was said of our Lord Jesus Christ, he came into his own, being a Jew by birth, and his own received him not. The nation as a whole, they despised and they rejected and crucified the very Lord of glory. All you have to do in order to see how the nation Israel responded is to read the first 10 chapters of the book of Acts. You'll first of all see how they responded to the Lord Jesus Christ as he walked this earth. And secondly, you'll see how they responded to the gospel that declared Christ, who was the one sent of the Father, and to this world to put away sin for his elect. The Jews as a nation, those same people whom God chose as a nation, he chose them as a nation to reveal himself, and to whom the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, was to come. The nation as a whole did not love the message of the gospel. In fact, they hated it. They rejected the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, as it says back in Romans 9, beginning at verse 31, where it says, "But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, or why? Because they sought it not by faith, but, as it were, by works of the law. For they stumble at the stumbling stone. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." But you know the nation Israel, those Jews, they're really no different from any other nationality or group of sinners. By nature, we all love the works of the law for righteousness. We all, as we're coming to this world, we think that we got to do something to be saved. Not only do we think it by nature, we're taught it all of our lives. We're taught it all of our lives. We love the ceremony, and by nature, we all love the ritual in religion. And all men by nature are caught up in all these things. Even though the believing Jews could not see a lot of evidence that God was saving a large number of the Jews, Paul is telling these Jewish believers here at the church at Rome, as well as these Gentile believers, that God's faithful to his promise. God will save all Israel. We looked at that in our last study, the verses that we went over the last time we had that I delivered the message. As the Apostle Paul talked about the first fruits be holy, the first fruits being Abraham, and he's talking about spiritual kinship to this man Abraham. He is also talking about natural kinship to Abraham. Two kinships here to Abraham. The natural, being born a Jew, being a seed of Abraham, and also the spiritual kinship to Abraham. He says in Romans 11, verse 16, "For the first fruit be holy," or "the first fruit be set apart by God for specific use. The lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches." So Abraham is the first fruit here. He is the natural father of all the natural descendants of the whole nation of Israel. And he's the first fruit, Abraham, and the lump, all the natural descendants of Abraham, is what that means. That is to say, national Israel were set apart for God's use, for God's service. The one true God dealt exclusively with this nation, the nation Israel, for nearly 1,500 years. God brought through that nation the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham is also here in verse 16 referred to as the root, and the branches are the natural descendants of national Israel. Notice verse 17 in Romans 11, 17. "And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree was grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root and the fatness of the olive tree." Paul here turns to the spiritual kinship to Abraham. And what he is saying here is that some of the natural Jews, Israel as a nation, are the branches spoken of here that were broken off. Paul says they were broken off. Now, why were they broken off? Why were these branches broken off? Why were they rejected? The scripture says it was because of their unbelief. In the last part of verse 17, Paul goes back to speaking about spiritual kinship to Abraham. And he says that Abraham is the root of the true church. This, of course, is only in the sense that he is the father of our faith. He is the father of the faithful, those that look to Christ alone for salvation. Whether they are Jew or whether they are Gentile, he's the father of the faithful for all of spiritual Israel. Look at Galatians 3 and begin at verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Spiritually kin to Abraham. A child of Abraham by faith. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Also in Galatians 3, beginning at verse 26, Paul says here, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, if you be one with Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, many of Abraham's natural descendants, those branches, had been broken off. That is to say that they had no spiritual kinship with Abraham, even though they were physically born a Jew. And it was evidenced by their unbelief. But on the other hand, many of the Gentiles who were not natural branches and who had no natural ties to the nation Israel and were not naturally kin to Abraham, but were wild branches. What happened to them? Thank God they were grafted in to that olive tree. That is to say, they became spiritually kin to Abraham, and it was evidenced by their faith, which revealed their membership into the true church of God, partakers of the root, which was Abraham. Romans 4:3 says, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. What do all believers do? Just like Abraham, true believers believe on him who justifies the ungodly. Every one of God's children, every one of God's elect, in each successive generation, are made to believe. To believe on Christ, to believe on him, to trust in him, and have no other hope. No other hope for salvation other than Christ's righteousness alone. We believe on him who justifies the ungodly. Therefore, after seeing how God dealt with both the Jews and the Gentiles concerning the gospel that we've gone over here, given a little context, verse 22 of Romans 11 says, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail, speaking of those Jews, those branches that were broken off, severity. But toward thee, goodness, speaking of those believing Gentile, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. Now, we're going to go into some things here and explain this verse here, because it does need some explaining. The goodness of God toward sinners, Jew or Gentile, can be seen, believed and experienced only in the glorious person and finished work of Christ and Christ alone. The severity of God is seen and experienced upon all who fall due to unbelief. All who are cut off and perish without Christ. This is the issue of salvation. It's not whether or not one is a Jew or whether one is a Gentile or any other nationality. The kindness and generosity of God's heart is neither given to any person, no matter who you are, because of your physical heritage, your nationality, nor because of your works. It is freely given to his people, spiritual Israel, both Jew and Gentile, because of Christ. Look at Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And also Ephesians 1, beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The salvation of any Jew or of any Gentile is founded upon the shed blood and the imputed righteousness of Christ. The damnation of any Jew or Gentile is founded upon their unbelief and their insisting on trusting in their own works for salvation. Now, the severity of God, spoken of here, is the same as the terror of the Lord in 2 Corinthians 5:11, where it says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we're made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Now, this severity here that we're talking about is the fact that God will eternally damn any and every sinner who comes before him without Christ, without being washed in his blood and clothed in his righteousness. Once again, let's look at God's standard of judgment by which he'll judge the world. Look at Acts, beginning at verse 17. This is the standard of judgment whereby God will judge this earth. It says, because God hath appointed the day in which he'll judge the world in righteousness, by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. That's that standard of judgment. Christ, his righteousness alone. That's perfect. Perfection in every way. As he obeyed the law in every jot and tittle and went to the cross and paid that sin debt by his shed blood. Now, God's goodness here in chapter 11, verse 22, is the same as his grace and mercy in saving sinners through Christ. Also, the last part of verse 22, this continuing is not a condition for salvation. It is evidence of salvation. The goodness that believers continue in is God's grace. It's looking to Christ, the author and finisher of our salvation. It's salvation by Christ without deeds of law, with our efforts. It excludes our efforts, all our efforts. Look back at Romans 11:22, the last part. It says, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off, as he speaks to these Gentile believers. To be cut off here is not that they lose their salvation. It is the evidence here of a false profession of faith. A false profession of faith in Christ. It's being in a state of unbelief. It's those branches that were cut off because of unbelief. Look at 1 John 2:19. Now, this is where John is speaking to believers concerning some of the group who profess to believe the gospel. They profess to believe, but who had been led astray by these false preachers and who had left the church, left the assembly, which proved that they never truly believed the gospel in the first place. Not that they were saved and then lost. It says here, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. The being cut off here does not determine the situation. It exposes the reality of the situation, which is just as the unbelieving Jews were cut off or broken off because of their unbelief, the Gentiles also would suffer the same consequence if they were found in unbelief with only a profession of faith. Then it says here in verse 23 concerning the Jews, And they, these Jews here that were at that time in unbelief, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. Any Jew who has brought the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ shall also be grafted into the nation of spiritual Israel. It is true that as a whole, the physical nation of Israel has been cast off because of their unbelief. But this does not mean that there is no hope of salvation for any Jew. The scriptures say that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, whether they are Jew or whether they are Gentile. God will save his elect, and he will save them by his power as he regenerates and converts them by the new birth, which is the evidence of their believing his promise of salvation conditioned on Christ alone and repenting from their former idolatry and all those dead works in their former religion. Dead works meaning all those works they did in their former religion, thinking that in some way that it was going to have something to do with their salvation. It's called dead works. God is able to take away the blindness of their minds, speaking of these Jews, that God does a work of grace in their heart. He's able to take away the blindness of their minds and the hardness of their heart. Also take away the veil that is over them and turn them to the Lord. Notice how Paul emphasizes that the power is not of the believing sinner, but it's all of God. Look back at Romans 11, verse 23. For God is able to graft them in again. For those that God the Father chose before the foundation of this earth, before the foundation of the world, those of whom Christ justified by his precious blood, the Holy Spirit will in time call each and every one of them by the preaching of the gospel. It's God that justifies the ungodly. Now, in verse 24 here, Romans 11, speaking of the Gentile believers here, it says, for if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, they were not a part, any way a part of the physical nation of Israel, and were grafted contrary to nature into the good olive tree, speaking of spiritual nation, spiritual Israel, how much more shall these Jews that were in unbelief at that time, which be the natural branches, born of an Israelite, born a Jew, be grafted into their own olive tree. So what the Apostle Paul is saying here in verse 24 is this. Let there be no doubt about it. Let there never be any lack of confidence in God's power to save his elect, whether they be a Jew or a Gentile, any other nationality. Just think about it. The Gentiles, who were not born Abraham's natural descendants, but by believing they were revealed to be spiritually kin to Abraham. They were, by nature, born Gentiles, not Jews. They had no physical connection to Abraham. Therefore, it shouldn't surprise us any of us that if any of Abraham's natural descendants, true Jews by nature, who could trace their lineage back to Abraham nationally, and who had all the privileges given by God to the physical nation of Israel, it shouldn't surprise us any that if some of these Jews were converted and truly turned to Christ, shouldn't surprise us any, they would not only be physical descendants of Abraham, born a Jew, physically, but there also be a spiritual child of Abraham. A part of that spiritual Israel. As the scriptures say, all Israel shall be saved. Spiritual Israel, both Jew and Gentile. Now, looking back again at Galatians 3, beginning at verse 27, the scriptures are clear. If you're in Christ by faith, if you're looking to Christ alone for all your salvation, then are you Abraham's seed, spiritual children of Abraham. It tells us whether we are Jew or whether we are Gentile, whether we are male or female, whether we are bond, free. It doesn't matter what nationality nor circumstance in which you were born. None of these things matter as it relates to the salvation of a sinner. What is revealed when a true child of God comes to faith and repentance? That's the question. What is revealed when a true child of God comes to faith and repentance? Well, it reveals that we're Abraham's seed. And what else are we? Well, we're heirs according to the promise. That promise of salvation conditioned on Christ alone. Our salvation was and is by God's amazing grace. There was nothing born in us, nothing we've done to recommend ourselves unto God. We who were by nature children of wrath have been cut out of the wild olive tree, our fall and ruination in Adam, and grafted into a good olive tree, the gospel church, our spiritual Israel, our redemption and salvation in Christ. How much more or how great and marvelous would it be if the Jews, who were physical descendants of Abraham and who had all those privileges given by God to point them to Christ, how much more shall these Jews, who were natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree, spiritual Israel? Our next verse here, verse 25, reads, "For I would not, brethren," speaking of those Gentile believers as Paul was speaking to them, "that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentile be come in." When Paul told them that he didn't want them, speaking of the Gentile believers here, to be ignorant of this mystery, the reason he told them this is that he desired that they should grow in all spiritual knowledge and judgment of these things concerning the blindness of these Jews and the calling of the Gentile. Paul wanted these Gentile believers to be better informed on how God would providentially, in time, call the Jews by the preaching of these Gentile believers, wherein, in the beginning, God used these Jews. He used Paul and all these Jews to preach the gospel to these Gentiles in order that they believe. He used these Jews for that. Well, in time, he's going to use these Gentiles preaching this gospel to these Jews and that they be saved. This was also a mystery that God revealed mainly to Paul, but also to others. Look at Ephesians 3, beginning at verse 1. "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that the revelation he made known unto me, the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." This mystery of Christ as he reveals himself to these Gentiles. The reason Paul was telling them this is expressed in the following clause, Romans 11:25, "lest you should be wise in your own conceits." Meaning, lest they should be puffed up in their minds, and because of this, look with contempt upon those spiritually blind Jews, as if to think that these Jews were always would remain in such a state of darkness and of unbelief. This truth of God sending the gospel to the Gentiles should humble us and make us thankful to God for the Jews and pray for their salvation. Shouldn't cause us to be puffed up concerning these things. Part of the mystery also that Paul had to inform them of is Romans 11:25b, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentile be come in. This was all for God's purpose of getting the gospel to his elect among the Gentiles. I'm not going to go into detail, don't have time, But you know, for all those hundreds of years, the gospel was just with these Jews, with Israel. That was God's chosen nation. And it was only after the death of Christ, and as we know in Scripture, it talks about Paul and Peter and all of them, that the gospel went out to the Gentiles. This blindness here is not a partial blindness in the individual Jew. This blindness here is not a partial blindness, but a blinding of the biggest part of that nation because of their unbelief. The phrase here in Romans 11:25, the last part, until the fullness of the Gentiles, is explained in the next verse, that Paul shows that all Israel shall be saved. And this includes all of God's elect. All of God's elect among the Gentiles and as well as the Jews. Now, our last two verses that we'll deal with this morning reads, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Paul quoting from Isaiah here. Now the phrase here in verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved, the question should be, who is the all Israel? Many claim this must be the physical nation because of verses where Paul is clearly dealing with the Jewish people as distinct from the Gentile. And if you want to get somebody upset, put a message out there that speaks of the fact that the nation Israel, the physical nation of Israel today, are not God's chosen people as far as he's going to just save those people. And they're just not. Well, look at Romans 11, beginning at verse 27. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, speaking of these unbelieving Jews, but is touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. There's a remnant from that nation. There's a remnant according to the election of grace. In these verses, the apostle is talking about the Jewish people. But we must understand Paul's whole argument here. Paul is speaking of spiritual Israel, God's elect among the Jews, not physical Israel as a nation. He is writing specifically of that Jewish part of spiritual Israel, telling the Gentile believers not that God's going to save that whole nation in the future, but that God still has a remnant, a small group out of that nation which he intends to save. Therefore, the Gentile believers are not to be wise in their own estimation and thinking that no Jew can ever be saved. As I stated earlier, the rejection of the nation Israel here is not that God is not going to ever save another Jew or Israelite, because God's word's clear that he still has a remnant out of that nation according to the election of grace. And the rejection of the Jews is not a final rejection. God will continue to save the elect out of the Jewish nation as well as the elect from all other nations. We saw back in Romans 11, verse 26, all Israel shall be saved. Another part of Romans 11, the last part of 26, here says, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant to them, when I shall take away their sins. Paul quotes from the prophet Isaiah concerning the coming of Christ to do his great work of redeeming his people, all Israel, from their sins. For whom did Christ die? The question is, was it for God's elect among only the Jews? No, Christ died for all Israel, all God's chosen people, all of God's elect. Christ took away the sins of the world. John 1:29, God's elect, both Jew and Gentile, out of the world. Christ is the propitiation for the sins of the world. Look at 1 John 2, beginning at verse 1. The next day, John, speaking of John the Baptist, he seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Again, God's elect, both Jew and Gentile, out of the world. This salvation is for even us. Look at Romans 9, beginning at verse 22. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory? Even us, Paul says, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentile. All Israel shall be saved, all shall glory in the Lord, their righteousness. As we close out this study this morning, let's look at a couple of scriptures that clarify who the Israel of God are. Who are the Israel of God? Who are those that God is going to save when he says all Israel shall be saved? First, look back at the Old Testament, Isaiah 45, verse 23. It says, I have sworn by myself, the word's gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. And who are the seed of Israel? Look over at Galatians 6, beginning at verse 14. This is the Apostle Paul speaking here, who was a Jew. He says, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, whether you're a Jew or Gentile, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace on them, and mercy upon the Israel of God. God's Israel, all Israel, whom he promised to save, are Jews and Gentiles. Abraham is their spiritual father, and they are all, both Jews and Gentiles, all other nations, of spiritual Israel. All Israel shall be saved in the Lord. Amen.